Hey, this is Rob Dukes from Generation Kill, and you're listening to today's Boondoggle.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening to this intro before the intro of our today's Boondoggle radio show. As you know, we're a veteran-owned and operated podcast, and this has been an incredibly therapeutic journey for me as a veteran that struggles with PTSD and anxiety, just getting out and talking to people. But it does cost us some money, so if you feel so obliged to donate to our GoFundMe, we have a GoFundMe under today's Boondoggle. We also have a Venmo at today's Boondoggle that you can donate to. Our Anchor sponsorship at anchor.fm/today's boondoggle. Any questions, comments, suggestions, complaints, you can email us at todaysboondoggle@gmail.com. And please follow us on our social media sites at today's boondoggle on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all your social media platforms, as well as our YouTube channel, our Rumble channel, and our BitChute channel. Please follow, subscribe, comment, and download. And please consider checking out our sponsors. If you support our sponsor, Dream Nutrition, you can receive 10% off your order by using the promo code BOONDOG10 at checkout. So Dream Nutrition, they're a veteran-owned and operated company as well, so please support them and receive 10% off using the promo code BOONDOG10. Thanks for your time, and thanks for listening.
Listen up! Hold on to your seats! Grab your girls! Grab your beers!
What's going on? It's Tommy Beck, and you're listening to today's Boondoggle.
This is Mark Metcalf, and you are listening to today's Boondoggle with Bailey on Domain Cleveland Radio.
You are listening to today's Boondoggle with Bailey on Domain Cleveland Radio. Yes, Cato Kalen listens to this all the time.
I am Monty Heath,
so Warren Heath,
and you are listening to today's Boondoggle.
Hey, what's up? It's John from Skillet, and you are listening to today's Boondoggle on Domain Cleveland Radio.
What's going on, everybody? It's Bill Bailey with today's Boondoggle. And real quick housekeeping note, if you're watching us on YouTube or Rumble, please hit that follow and subscribe button. If you're listening to us on audio and whatever podcast platform you use, please hit that listen and subscribe. And we're also on social media, on Instagram and Facebook and all those. So give us a follow. Help us get these interviews out there, like the ones I'm getting ready to bring you right now with Mr. Terry DeWitt. Is that the right pronunciation?
Yeah, man, I've been called worse. No, that's it. It's Terry DeWitt. Yeah, it's
good. All right. Of the band Deep Fall. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, no, it's great to have you. I was doing a little bit of research going down the rabbit hole of you guys, And there's a lot of stuff that intrigued me that I like that I want to get into a little bit. But usually when I have somebody on for the first time, I like to get a little bit of a background. So originally, what did you want to be when you grew up?
A singer. Since I was 5 or 6, I saw Michael Jackson on TV as a child. And my mom said I was going crazy, grabbed the microphone, started singing. I just loved music my whole life. I've always wanted to be a singer since I was a little kid.
Nice, nice. So you stuck with that.
Yeah, man. Like a fool. I'm just kidding.
And then, it kind of answered that question too then. What was your first discovery of music and what attracted you to it?
Michael Jackson doing the moonwalk, man. As a little kid, that was the coolest thing ever. So, and I just loved it.
Nice, nice. So it's, so Michael Jackson, and then as you started getting, older and following,
you know, your musical tastes, when, what started leading you into the rock world?
Definitely started doing that stuff through middle school and high school. You know, I listened to Pink Floyd, Metallica and all that stuff. And I liked everything. I was a huge Lenny Kravitz fan as well. But liked blues and, you know, loved Stevie Wonder. And but really in middle school and just started the tail end of high school is when I really found like Alice in Chains and Soundgarden and those bands. And that's really when I got into Seven Dust, and that kind of just took me on the love of hard rock and metal for sure.
Nice. And then you said, you know, even as a kid, you always wanted to be a singer. But then when did you start like really getting, you know, serious about vocals?
All through high school. I was in performance choir in high school. Right after high school, I won the USA World Showcase in Las Vegas. I think that was in 2003. It was just a cool event that I got to do at the MGM Grand. And then, you know, always did music in 2006. I did the Rockstar Project in Milwaukee. I won that one. And I opened for like En Vogue and Train and a few other huge acts and went on tour with one of the producers from that, which was amazing. So I kind of went on that journey for a while. And then, like a lot of young people, I got into some dumb shit and, you know, kind of took a break and settled down, had a family and had to, you know, my dad passed away and my son almost passed away in the same year. So we stopped. I had to stop doing music and kind of take accountability of my life at that time, you know, and step away. And it's been a journey, that's for sure. Life is throws you some crazy, crazy times.
Oh, I got you, man. I can relate. Yeah, I was just at one of my 12 and 12 meetings this morning, you know, just reflecting on some of the, you know, the wreckage of the past and, you know, I'm in recovery now 13 years.
Congrats, man.
Thank you. And just talking with my sponsor earlier today, because, you know, I used to get in a lot of trouble when I'd be in the music world, you know, as a, you know, a promoter and just that life and everything. But I'm a fan of music. So it's like now I'm getting to enjoy it sober and I'm finding a lot of sober fellowship within the music world. And so it's like, you know, sometimes I got like some shame and guilt. Should I be going to this show? And I'm like, but I know, you know, I already have a support system in place and now I get to enjoy it on a whole new level, man. So, but anyway, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go on that.
No, it's all good, man. No worries at all. I'm glad you're doing good. It's cool.
Yeah. Thanks, man. You just, like you said, talking about that journey that life takes us on and,
well, that's everything. What music's about, man. It's about your life experience. It's real. People are tired of fake stuff, you know, when you're going through something in life and other people want to know they're not alone, you know. We all have problems and we're all just spinning around the sun together. So we might as well talk, get to know each other and try to overcome some stuff together too. So
exactly, because not everybody, you know, hits maybe a therapy group or a meeting. And sometimes music is our therapy, you know. You just put
absolutely
on. And when that artist is being real, you know, about his stuff, you're like, wow, okay, so I'm not the only one, you know?
Oh, yeah. We all got problems. That's for sure.
So, like, going through high school, did you start any, you know, before you did some of those shows or whatever, did you have, like, kind of like a high school bands with your friends and stuff like that?
Yeah, we had a band in high school and we played some local coffee shops and stuff. It was awesome. We had a good time. I remember being two. I believe it was two, but definitely always trying to do something.
Yeah. And then, so you're from, Grand Rapids area?
Yep.
And what's the music scene been like there for you when you were getting started?
Well, I moved away to Milwaukee when I was like 21-ish, something like that, 22. Things are hazy, especially from back then. But it was about 22. But the music scene when I was young here was great. And now especially, we got so many wonderful music venues in the city. It's awesome. So it's a good time to be a musician down here for sure.
Yeah, that's great to hear. Nice. And then, like, when did Deep Fall come together for you then?
So I joined Deep Fall basically almost a year ago. I think it was in October, September, something like that. And they had a previous singer before me. And then I was called to go record an EP with the band and Elvis. Michael Elvis Biscuit recorded the EP Revolution. And we had about a month and a half, or whatever it was, to start writing these songs to make the EP. And, you know, happy with how it went. But it's been a journey and you know, just got off the road with Seven Dust and all that. So it's been pretty cool.
Yeah, yeah. That's some of the stuff I wanted to get into with you. So,
yeah.
But you're, so you weren't the original singer of the band, nope. But, you know, I'm curious as the name, like, you know, has the guy shared with you, like, what was the inspiration behind the name?
There's been a couple different things I've heard, that like kind of what we were talking about, you know, the deep fall, what does that mean? You know, it can be a lot of things in life. When you think things are bad, they can get worse. So, you know, along those lines, is the premise behind the name, I was told.
Nice. So yeah, we got to hit a bottom before we can, start rising back up. So
ain't that true?
Yeah. And then, you mentioned, you guys were working with, Michael Elvis Bisquette. What was that, experience like?
That was awesome. Elvis is so cool and humble dude to work with, and he's just, it was a great experience. Learned a lot going down there and enjoyed it all. The whole band did. It was fun. Really cool.
Yeah, I mean, that guy's got you know, quite a resume himself with all the artists he's worked with, and from that experience, like, was he kind of like was he passing on a lot of knowledge for you guys?
It's just learning the process. Everybody's a little bit different, you know, and I think when bands look for producers, you're trying to find somebody that's kind of a, I don't think people understand that a producer is sometimes an extra member of a band in a way, you know, so yeah. That relationship matters. I mean, you can work with somebody that's, you know, laid back and kind of looks at things in a different way. It helps a lot. So I think that was the best part for me, especially as a vocalist with Elvis, you know, being comfortable and making me feel comfortable and everybody comfortable and at home and not having to worry. And, you know what I mean? Cause it's a little daunting when you walk into this place and you're just like, whoa, you see all the names on the walls and you're like, wow, this is pretty sweet, you know? So it kind of all sinks in.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like, man, you know, a little bit of intimidating maybe, you know?
Absolutely. Like, you know, and then, you know, when you work with producers, you know, you got to just be pliable. So as a vocalist, you meet other people that are, you know, well, jerks or whatever you want to call them, but you work with people, you just got to be easygoing and pliable, you know, that's how you got to be.
And then, like you mentioned, he's kind of like, becomes like another member of the band. And, you know, I was reading that he was a big influence on, you know, pushing more with your, keyboards in the project.
Yeah. You know, we all give our keyboard player a lot of crap because he plays the keyboard and it's fun, but also I've known him for a long time, but we give him, he's our wizard in the band. Every band has to have a wizard and he's ours. So he's a smart dude. And, you know, we give him crap about the piano and the keyboards, but Elvis really, brought that to light, you know what I mean? With production, and it sounds amazing. All these different keyboard sounds. And I know they had a nerd of a time hanging out doing that. So, and it's cool. It turned out amazing. In fact, nice. The song with the most keys on it was just released today. Into the Sun just came out today. So check it out. If you want to hear 83 layers of keyboards, it's pretty sweet.
Nice. Nice. Yeah. I'll have to check that out when we get off of this. But you mentioned a little bit about, you know, that you guys already been out on the road, like with Seven Dust and, I think I was reading like Alter Bridge and bands like that. Like, what's that experience been like?
Yeah. We just got off the Seven Dust tour. I believe it was the end of May, and it was awesome. It was a great run. Learned a lot as just to focus on as a vocalist, but also as a band and how to go about things. They're just so professional and, you know, they've been doing it so long. They make it look so easy, you know. Great experience. And on that tour was Plush and All Good Things. We were great people. It was just a great tour. It was a good time.
Nice. And then, so, yeah, so being kind of like, were you guys like kind of like the rookies then on that and get to kind of like, I guess, kind of like learn the proper whatever backstage etiquette or whatever?
No, well, I mean, not rookie, we've all done this before, like on some level, but definitely you know, never toured with Seven Dust before. So, you know, and you just go out there when we were the first to perform. So you just go out there and be professional, and everybody was, it was a great time. Everybody was really nice and laid back and easy going, and it was nice. No drama, which I love.
Yeah, it's always a plus.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. And then, you know, forming new friendships and relationships. So
last,
you know, it's a, usually what I, it's usually the experiences and the relationships, you know, you can have the big, you know, all the other stuff that comes along with it, but you know, the things kind of like lose their, luster not too long. And then you're on the next big thing, you know, but those relationships, that's the stuff that, you know, you always like remember and, you know, are important.
Oh, of course. And it's, you know, like I mentioned earlier, I've been dreaming about going on tour with Seven Dust since I was 19, 20 years old. And I got to sing with them the last night of the tour. I got to sing Angel Sun with them on stage. So that's something, you know, I'll live with me forever. And then talking with all the other bandmates and, you know, the other bands that were there and meeting and hanging out after. It's just, it's amazing, man. It's what life's all about, meeting cool people, for sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. And then, so the, you said you, one song, your new video just came out today. But let's talk a little bit about the EP Revolution.
Sure.
What was, you know, I mean, perfect title name. If you're, you know, anybody that hasn't had your head in the sand, I guess, and in our country the past couple of years, but, like, what was the inspiration behind,
Hey, baby, this is Double D, also known as Dream Daddy. And I gotta tell y'all something about our new sponsorship here at today's Boondoggle. And the name is Dream Nutrition. So if you're looking to empower your human vitality, well, then you come to the right place. With over 12 years of combined experience in cannabinoids and terpene products, Dream Nutrition products include CBD oils, patches, proteins, and so much more. The endocannabinoid system is believed to have involvement in regulating physiological and cognitive processes, including the immune system, appetite, pain sensation, mood, memory, and in mediating the pharmacological effects of cannabis. Support this veteran-owned and operated company today, and today's Boondoggle fans will receive 10% off their orders when using the promo code BOONDOG10 at checkout. That's BOONDOG10 at checkout. So go to the link. That's dreamnutrition.com/discount/boondog10. And remember, dream is not spelled like Dream Daddy. It's spelled D-R-E-E-M. And start saving today because you deserve to feel your best. And you know that's right. So tell them Dream Daddy and your friends from today's Boondog sent you.
That title.
It's really based on the song Revolution 2, which was our first release. And, you know, I wrote that about technology and what it's doing to the world and people. As I mentioned, you know, you don't know what's real or fake anymore. It's hard to tell what's going on with anything, whether you're on either side of the fence. I mean, it just seems that everything is BS, and I don't think that's a good space to be, you know. And we're seeing a shift in culture, and I think people should pay attention to it and take it seriously. Try to learn about each other and not hate each other all the time, because, you know, if history's taught us anything, is that doesn't end well, ever. So,
exactly. And it's like... Just... I you know, what I kind of got out of, and I want to talk a little bit about that, the video for that song, but, you know, like what you just said too, is just like, you get, there's so much stuff that we're getting hit with. We don't know what's real or not. And I, you know, I'm kind of a follower of history, and I'm retired, military and stuff. And, you know, just, I think that it was, I forget who it was with the CIA said, we'll know that our propaganda campaign or whatever was successful when people don't know what's real and what's not, you know, or yeah. I'm something to, along those lines, he said. And it feels like, you know, we're hit with so much information, misinformation, disinformation in this day and age of, you know, technology. You don't know what to believe, and we're, you know, we're distracted and we're divided over some of the dumbest things, you know, it seems like. And
it's, it's, and, a,
why our, you know, our future and, you know, our finances, financial, whatever is being, you know, taken from us. It's crazy. People do need to wake up and start paying attention and step back.
Absolutely, man. And well, thank you for your service for one. And I agree. It's just we're at a time where the financial markets are collapsing. They're talking about the housing market going to, you know, it's going to follow at some point. And then, you know, we found out real quick how fast things can change. It just a pandemic comes and all your medicine comes from other countries and you're relying on other people to get along for your survival. And it's obviously the medical system was overloaded and we learned a lot about our country and how fragile it actually is instead of how strong it is. We're told it's the strongest, but you know, when you have an enemy you can't see, you know, that's where people need to come together and try to get through it instead of wanting to hurt and, you know, hurt each other and whatever else people are trying to do out there. It seems like, you know, we're supposed to be on the same team. So,
yeah, exactly. And you just said something that brought up a good point for me too, is like, yeah, I remember September 12th, 2001, how we all were united. Everybody had a flag. We all came together, it seemed like, you know, because we, you know, we felt we had an enemy we could see. But, you know, now that they're, you know, and we said we'd never forget, you know, but now it's just like we're more divided than ever before. And it's like, you know, it's like, and we don't really have a defined, you know, we're making ourselves, the other American people, our enemy, instead of, you know, who's really pulling the strings to get us all distracted and fighting amongst
absolutely
each other.
And that's kind
technology of technology's like playing a huge role because everybody's a keyboard badass, you know, or analyst or something like that, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, that's kind of what Revolution touches on. It talks about the media, and that's what's in the video that you mentioned. Like, it's like all this stuff is fake and we're supposed to have transparency with our government. We're supposed to be running the government, not them running us. They're supposed to work for us. And it seems like there's no transparency. There's no accountability. How can you have trillions of dollars in debt? You know what I mean? Why are we bailing out big companies and giving them money? Why are we doing that? Why is the inheritance tax 50% after it's already been taxed? Why? It doesn't make sense. It doesn't seem like it's set up for us, you know?
No, not at all. And like you said, speaking of the video, there was a lot of, I mean, there's a lot going on in the video, but you know, it's like, I always like kind of try and pay attention to certain symbols and stuff like that, you know, and, you know, the mention of AI in your lyrics and everything too, you know, I had a guy on, not too long ago, we were talking about, you know, AI and, you know, how its role in dividing us and what it's putting out there. And like some of, you know, if you follow certain things, the AI will remember, you know, or like you ever have those conversations with somebody and then all of a sudden your phone's trying to sell you, you know, something you were just talking about with your friend.
Well, yeah, I mean, we learned a lot about the whole Project Heartbeat thing with Snowden and how technology, people are spying us with their phones every day. So, I mean, people don't realize, like, you know, probably should pay attention to these things. Like, too much technology is not good, where everything that you do is filmed and recorded. That doesn't sound free to me.
Yeah, and you know, the new generation's like willingly going into this, you know? Let me make a TikTok video for you or something, you know? And yeah, it's just becoming normal. It's like, hey, I'm even guilty of, you know, I got an Alexa here because it's like I want to jam some tunes, but I'm like, yeah, how much is Alexa listening to my private conversations with my kids and stuff like that, you know?
And why? You know, that's the part that really intrigues me is why. Why are we being studied? It seems like we're being studied. People don't understand, like, you know, talking about AI and cybernetic collectives, which is what Google is and all these things, is they just collect information. You're training it right now. We all are. Every time you type something into Google and, you know what I mean? It's someday the robots are going to run stuff.
Yeah. And I've actually had conversations like this on the podcast with other artists and stuff, especially during, you know, fresh off the lockdowns and stuff. And they were suddenly removed from YouTube because they're just talking like this was too controversial. It's just like, we're just having a conversation and asking questions and thinking critically, but you know, we can't
have freedom of speech is being controlled and manipulated. And that's not good. Nobody should like that. You know what I mean? Even if I don't want to hear something, I want to hear the truth. You know what I mean?
Exactly. There's so much like, you know, that, so many friends that I've had in the music world and stuff that, you know, I do not agree with, we're polar opposites when it comes to maybe our politics and stuff like that.
Sure.
But you know what? I can see their posts and I can scroll by because I value that relationship more than I'm trying to argue or be right or whatever. You're never going to convince anybody on social media anyway, but you know, I value that relationship enough that I'll just scroll by and whatever, go about my day. And then, you know, I notice some people can't scroll by and they got to start, you know, and they've gotten comfortable with that, where it's just like, you know, if we can't come together and sit down and talk and have our disagreements, you know, and even have a discussion about our disagreements, then, you know, they're trying to silence so many people that, you know, like one side, it seems like, you know. And then so it's like, how do we grow and become better if we can't even come to the table, sit at the same table and talk about our differences, you know?
Yeah. I mean, the only way things happen in this world that are good is by conversation, and disagreements are good. And, you know, one person's way shouldn't be the only way, because everybody has a different upbringing, different places in the world they come from, different social status, different money, where they come from with money, all of it. I mean, everybody's different. You know, your life's not going to be the same. So some people have to overcome far more than others. It's life, you know, there's a lot in the middle that you can agree on if you choose to, you know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. It's like when we were done isolating and able to start getting back together, I noticed, you know, a lot of those people that I didn't agree with, or maybe, you know, debated with online, if we were at a show together, enjoying some live music, all that stuff was forgotten and we were just jamming together. And that was the beauty of, you know, of music and being able to get past our differences and stuff. But you mentioned, you know, collecting, you know, what are they collecting? What are they trying to get? And I did notice in your video as well, you know, the DNA strand, you know, and there's been a lot of talk about that with, you know, the push for the jab and stuff like that, but also like, what are they collecting about our DNA? I felt I was dumb and I did the 23andMe thing. So it's like, I willingly gave, you know, more information.
You sent your DNA to the government.
Yeah. Exactly. I was like, oh, it'd be cool. Like Ancestry, and find out if I'm,
right,
you know, connected to royalty or something. And I'm like, no, they're just figuring out how, okay, well, he's got, you know, his body might be built up an immunity to this, but maybe we could take him out with this. I don't know. You know, that's kind of what I got out of it. But you want to talk a little bit more about like some of the messages your guys were sending in the video?
Well, you're absolutely right. So shout out to Carl Wyant, who's the director of the video, and him and I had lots of conversations about this. And it's all of these things that you mentioned, DNA, AI, you know, there's things that are being made right now that are scary. people like just Terminator their lives every scary. Day. Like there's robots that can run and teach themselves how to do things. You know, I mean, there is a point where once the rabbit's out of the hat, it can't go back in kind of thing. So, but all those things in this video are just meant to spark conversation, have people use their imaginations, just think outside the box a little bit. You know, I think everybody, and myself included, you know, you get caught up in your life and, you know, what's real, what isn't, what matters, and what matters is people. It's when you grow old and you're on your deathbed, you're not going to give a crap about what you own. You're going to care about who's around you and who you love. Yeah. That's it. So, you know, you just got to remember what matters, and everything on TV and all this stuff isn't exactly real. So you got to search information and try to do your best to get the best information that you can and use common sense to go from there, you know?
Yeah, I try and tell friends and family, it's like the old miners sifting for gold, you know, how they used to take the panning or whatever and sift through the dirt to find the gold nuggets and stuff like that. That's what we got to do with information these days that's out there. We got to find out, like, use discernment and find out what's, like, you know, we feel is legit, and somewhere, you know, somewhere in the middle is the truth, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. My mom's funny because she comes from that older generation and I love her dearly. But, you know, she'll send me stuff like, oh my gosh, this is happening. I'm like, mom, this isn't even a real link. Like, there's not really a UFO the size of Texas in the sky right now. That's a Photoshop image. What? They can do that? I'm like, they can do lots of things, mom. Don't give any information out on the phone, mom. Don't do it. That's what I tell her. Just say no.
Yeah,
our
moms are definitely, you know, of the same ilk. You know, it's like, I remember, you know, especially when the COVID task force would be on there, and I'd be like, mom, you're making yourself sick by constantly watching that stuff right now. You're mentally making yourself sick. Like, turn it off and you'll start feeling better. Go for a walk, get some fresh air. It's all right, you know?
Yeah, I've done that, man, or I've got caught up in it and get pissed off. And, you know, you're just like, why am I doing it? I'm falling for this right now. What am I doing? Yeah, it happens to everyone. It's emotional, you know? It gets your emotions going, and that's when you make bad decisions normally.
Exactly. That's why I lean back on some of my recovery and the serenity prayer. It's like, what do I have control over, you know, right
Absolutely.
Now? You know, what am I powerless over? You know, I can only control how I'm going to react to some of these things. And that's what I need to focus on, you know.
Such an important thing, too, because I have a son. And it's like we talk about that all the time. Like, worry about things you can control. You can control you, your attitude, how you outlook things. You know, you can't control what this person does or that person does. You know, it's simple, really.
Yeah. And I try and same thing. I try and share that with my daughters and stuff. But, you know, you brought up a good point, too, which about, you know, on your deathbed, what's really going to be important, you know, the relationships or the stuff that you have. And it, I was really intrigued, and I enjoyed the track Phantom, because it's like, you know, you're speaking to your family from beyond. You want to elaborate a little bit about the inspiration behind that song? And
yeah, man, that one was probably one of the toughest songs I've ever wrote. You know, it's very personal to me, obviously, but yeah, I just wrote it about passing away and overseeing my family. I've dealt with a lot of stuff in my life, from the beginning. My dad was locked up and had issues. We'll just leave it at that. But, you know, there's just, when you love people and you care about people so much, and you understand that too, if you have kids, it's just like, it's a different thing. You can't really explain to people. I have friends that don't have kids, and, you know, there's just this thing when you're a parent and, you know, you think about bad things as you get older and things start to happen and people pass away, and it's life. It's inevitable. It happens to all of us. So, you know, it's like, what message do I want to send them when I'm gone? And that song just kind of came quick and it came fast and it was emotional. You know, I was bawling right now. It was just kind of weird emotional experience, you know, but it's just facing that stuff head on. And, you know, you just never know, man. But now if I go, at least there's a song that hopefully makes them get through the day or helps anybody else get through the day that lost someone. That's really all it's about, helping people, man.
Yeah. And that's, I feel, you know, I mean, as a father as well, you know, it's like, that's why I felt like I connected with that track. And, you know, kudos to you for bearing your soul like that, because it helps, you know, helps even guys like me that think I'm doing all the right things, try and reevaluate what's more important right now. Is arguing, you know, with my daughter over a car payment more important than building that, strengthening that relationship and that trust, that so she knows I'm here for her, you know, when she's going through some rough times, and that she could still come to me, you know, or making her afraid to come to me, you know? And
it's tough being a parent, man. And when you love somebody so much, and we're kids and not the brightest bulbs in the box when we were younger. I mean, it's just part of growing up in life, but all you can do is teach your kids that you're there to support them, and mistakes and all. Like, you have to own your mistakes, have accountability, you know, own it. If you screw up, own it. Don't lie to me. That's what I tell my kid. Don't lie to me. Just own it, dude. If you mess up, own it.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, exactly. It's just like, you know,
it is what it is. I'll help you. Just don't lie to me, you know, because trust, you only get trust with people. Once you start lying, you lose that trust and everything changes from there on out. So shoot me straight. We'll be good. You know?
Exactly. Yep. it's the exact same conversations I've been having with my girls, you know. It's just like, look, you know, and it's helped a lot, like working on myself and how I react to things, because before I used to be a hothead and I wouldn't want to come talk to me about anything either, you know, but I've had some time to keep working on myself and through my stuff to give them the opportunity where they've even said like, yeah, I feel more comfortable coming to talk to my dad about the hard things now. And I'm like, good, because I want to.
You know, and the last thing we all want is something drastic to happen to anybody that we love. And then there's all these questions, you know, I don't want something ever happens to me. I don't want my family being stuck wondering if I loved them. They're going to know. That's what that song's about. It's just kind of leaving you with something, you know, it's important.
Yeah, it is definitely, man. I have a reminder on I try and use technology for good and not always let it distract me into evil things. And I just put a reminder on my phone every day to, you know, love your girls, you know. It's something I shouldn't need a reminder of. I should do it you know, anyway, but we get caught up in life. So I take that time to send a text. Hey, I love you.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. It keeps you focused. I get it. Sometimes you get distracted. I do. It doesn't mean you don't love them. It's just life is busy and it's chaos all the time, you know. Sometimes you get caught up and stuff and you just kind of lose. All right, I need to get centered here. You know, I do it all the time, man.
Nice. Well, I know you said you only had like 30 minutes, but if I could ask you a couple of questions that I normally ask before I let you go.
Oh, we're good, man. Go for it.
Okay, cool. And then really quick too, like, you know, the EP is it out now or it's just parts of it's getting released right now? Or
yep, just songs right now. We are discussing end of fall release for the EP. We just don't have a date yet. And then we have End of the Sun came out today. So, and then there'll be some more stuff to follow.
Okay, great. And any more tours planned ahead?
We are looking at dates now. We're deciding if we're going to do a headlining tour or if we're going to go out with someone else. So all that stuff's kind of in the works as we speak, along with trying to get back to the studio and do more songs as well. So there will be more information definitely available probably in the next few weeks about all of it.
Okay, great. So let me ask you some of the questions I normally ask guests that I have on. And we were just talking a lot about how much, when artists bare their soul or put something in a song that we, you know, makes us feel like, okay, we're not unique. This is something that I also struggle with that inspires us or whatever. Is there a particular song out there that is a go-to for you that you can go back to whenever it's just like a regular in your playlist that inspires you that you go to?
Sorry, man. I had something happen here with the connection and I dropped out. So I heard I lost you for a second there.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Speaking of the songs that, you know, we feel that, you know, inspire others or whatever by people bearing their souls and stuff, is there a particular song that's on your playlist that is a go-to for you whenever you're looking for inspiration?
Yeah, man, I'm a big Chris Cornell fan and big Alice in Chains fan. And, you know, Black Hole Sun's one where if you listen to the lyrics of that song, you can hear the darkness and depression in it. And it sounds weird to be an inspirational song, but it's that whole bearing your soul and just being real about stuff. And that's what I loved about Layne Staley and Chris Cornell. And there's many, many artists that are phenomenal that do that as well. But a Black Hole Sun, and I listen to the Dirt record sometimes. Alice in Chains, one of my favorite records. That, you know, that whole record inspired me. So many great songs in that. But those are definitely go-tos for me if I'm in a funk, or it just brings back great memories of me being younger and first hearing these songs that inspired me, you know?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I just got to catch Alice in Chains recently because they're back on tour now after, you know, all these years of, and, you know, the lockdowns and everything. And, man, it was such a great show. So phenomenal.
I'm going in a few weeks, man. I can't wait.
Oh, nice, nice. Yeah, man. Great, great live act. And then what class do you feel should be mandatory before graduating high school today?
Traveling to a third world country.
Yeah.
I think going to see what other people live like in other countries. I think it'd be good for people to learn that, you know, not everything's rainbows and butterflies everywhere.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Makes you appreciate more what you have, you know.
And home ec. Bring that back too.
Yeah, yeah. Civics.
Teach my kid how to do taxes in school and have a bank account and finances in high school. Why don't we have financial classes? I don't get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know, it's like some people that it seems like the loudest voices of complaining are people that have never been out of the world. They're just stuck in their bubble, you know?
It's just You're like, right.
But, you know, if I'm grateful for my time in the military for seeing a lot of these other places, made me appreciate what I had back home so much more.
Absolutely, man.
And then who are three people who've inspired you or you can credit for making you the person you are today?
My mom and my grandparents definitely are the three people that, you know, helped mold me for sure. I wasn't always rainbows and butterflies for me growing up either, but it's, you know, they never quit on me and always believed in me and pushed me to do things. And, you know, that's the kind of people you need in your corner for sure.
Exactly. Definitely. And then, are there any causes or organizations that you support and encourage others to check out?
We have an organization in Grand Rapids called VetGR that helps veterans. I strongly suggest people check that out in Grand Rapids. We're not affiliated with anything. I'm just giving them a shout out. I think they do great work. I went to high school with Jesse Brower, who's a veteran who's experienced some crazy things. And just go check it out. It's a great organization.
Nice. And if I read correctly, you guys have a veteran in your band as well, right?
We did. Taylor stepped down from the band now, but we did. Yes. Taylor was a veteran and he was a part of the CP for sure. So shout out to Taylor. Hope you're good, bro.
Cool. And then favorite toy as a child?
My Teddy Ruxpin, I think. I took that thing everywhere with me when I was little. I was like, I don't know if people know what that is, but it could talk. Yeah. And it's pretty fascinating when you're four. Like, this is sweet.
You know? You swap out his tape for like Judas Priest or something like that. And you have it like,
right. I never did
Chuck
that,
E. Cheese but... rock show or something, you know?
Right. That was just a cool thing.
Nice. And then speaking of our veterans and military, any message you have for our military members currently serving overseas?
Thank you so much for your service and sacrifice. I've had friends and family that have done it, and it's just appreciate it very much. Not everybody always does, but there's a lot of us that do. So thank you. Be safe.
Awesome. Well, thanks for giving me some time today, Terry. It was good talking with you and getting to know more a little bit behind, you know, the EP and, you know, knowing I wasn't seeing things in the video, you know, reaffirming that there's other like-minded people that do think critically still out there. I appreciated our conversation. If there's people that are new to learning about Deep Fall and want to check you guys out more, where would you send them?
Well, thank you so much for the kind words, man. It was an honor to be on today. And so if you want to follow us or anything we're doing, it's deepfallband.com. All of our socials are right on the first page and you can follow us everywhere there. So deepfallband.com, and please check out Into the Sun that just dropped today. Let us know what you think.
Nice, man. And then before I let you go, one last favor, you mind cutting a promo ID for the show?
Yeah, no problem, dude.
Yeah. Just introduce yourself. You're listening to Today's Boondoggle.
This is Terry DeWitt from Deep Fall, and you're listening to Today's Boondoggle. Peace.
Awesome, man. Terry, thank you so much for your time, man. I appreciate it. Good talking.
Absolutely, bro. You take care. Thank you.
AFW story brought to you by Today's Boondoggle.
Savage
doing this. Oh, Savage and Lothar.
Savage and Lothar. Remember
I
how?
I know where you do not we, take we a would, picture of. Tim
every night we come back from
Tijuana.
Right.
You don't raise your camera and try taking a picture of Tim with all.
Oh
the
my
hookers.
God. That was
fucking costume. Guns up.
Well, yeah.
I'm like, hey, take it. Your camera, take anything you want.
Shit.
Man, they were on you.
Down in Honduras.
They were on you.
Freaking, every
Phil Savage,
night
Phil
we
Savage.
Come off like, watch, Phil Savage got light duty in Lothar.
He was gator bit.
But he was gator bit.
But anyway,
well, he had his flash
we'd come back, and there'd be, every night there'd be a beer on our bus. Cold beer, right? Well, it started out with one, then it ended up being six beers on everything. Well, he used to go get a sleeping bag sack, and he'd walk across the airfield to this little store, like, you know, and he'd buy all this beer. He was coming back with Lothar, and Master at Arms stopped him, two chiefs, and they go, what do you got in the bag? He goes, pop.
Coach.
He says, let's see, and he opens up, and he goes, that's beer. He goes, damn, I wanted pop.
That guy was supposed to give me Coca-Colas. Take them Coca-Colas back now. Mind you, halfway in 72 hours, we put 1,280 vehicles on the beach.
Give them a wood shampoo. Yeah.
They turned around and the Contras thought we were National Guardsmen. They didn't know this.
Yeah.
But they, all of a sudden now they got Hummers, they got freaking Jeeps, they got howitzers driving down the road going over to the Dole Pier. They're pissed because they didn't get to see the evolution. So they're going to shoot. All officers are going to shoot
They
them.
Killed seven Air Force guys.
Yeah, they killed seven Air Force guys down in Honduras. So they took everybody's insignia. Everybody take all your collar devices off. There's no saluting. So every morning, Martin would come by and go, morning, sir. You're not supposed to be saluting. I forgot. Morning, sir. You're not supposed to be saluting. Well, Ozzy didn't get the memo.
He's not in California on an aircraft?
Phil was the first class.
We left him on?
No. Ozzy was second.
His first deployment? That's why we took him to
Ozzy had his collar devices on. The Chiefs got into Ozzy's ass because he was a second-class petty officer. Ozzy took
first
it and flipped it
as a racial
thing. After that, he signed up for regular.
Now, here it is. We're in Honduras. At 8 o'clock
like,
in the morning.
He's like, you're trying to save your life. Yeah. You can only imagine.
At 8 o'clock in the morning, it's fucking 12. It's 95 degrees at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
The only thing that ACU-2 had to issue us was sub-zero sleeping bags.
Yeah.
Still right? Making them so everybody's got their sleeping bag just spread out on their cot, and they're all just laying on them in their underwear, just fucking trying to be cool. Here's Ozzy. Yeah, here's Ozzy. He's in the sleeping bag, zipped all the
him
fucking
and
way
Frampton.
It's his little black face.
Yeah. All you can see is a little black face.
And thank you for listening to another story time from the VFW Hall, brought to you by Today's Boondoggle. Thank you for listening once again to today's Boondoggle Radio Show. Please be sure to check out our website, domaincle.com or todaysboondoggle.com for more shows and check out our archives. Follow us on social media at Today's Boondoggle on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and Twitter for more information about this podcast. And please support us on www.anchor.fm/todaysboondoggle, as well as on our GoFundMe and Venmo. Be sure to subscribe, comment, download, and listen to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spreaker, and all the other podcast platforms out there. Please email us with any questions, suggestions, and comments via todaysboondoggle@gmail.com. Leave us some 5-star reviews and help spread the word. Thanks again for listening.
Thank you for tuning into this week's Today's Boondoggle. Domain Cleveland Entertainment is a veteran-owned and operated cornucopia of nonsensical shenanigans. You can find interesting interviews, music news and information, and just about everything else in between. Thank you again for supporting, sharing, and tuning into Today's Boondoggle.